Blog Talk Radio.
Sad news today, and as most of you know, Bill has been here for a few weeks, actually a little longer than that, and his sister died the other day from cancer, and if you guys would like to say a prayer or offer your condolences, I'm going to put Bill's phone number in the chat room, and he's usually there from 10 to 6, of course the next few days are going to be kind of hectic, but someone will be there, and someone will take a message and make sure you get your message. So, other than that, nothing else going on. I had an interesting call yesterday from a lieutenant I talked to last week, and he wanted me to send him all kinds of injunctions and paperwork and everything, and then, you know, tell me he's going on vacation for a week and a half, and he wouldn't get back to me for till August sometime. And I was like, I'm thinking in the back of my head after I hung up, and it turned out, you know, I just thought about it really hard, and today I was driving back, and I had this stuff with me, but I just drove right by. And it just bugged the shit out of me. I just thought about it, and I'm not gonna give them the information that they can put this guy in a room till September 7th when I go to court and school him on all the paperwork I have, and give him answers that they need to go find themselves. Because Tuesday, I had a friend of mine do me a favor, and I turned in an informal discovery request. And it goes, I turned it in at the police station. And they were kind of surprised that I did that. I haven't heard anything yet. They had 15 days to answer me, but what it says is, pursuant to the California Penal Code, the above-named defendant hereby requests that you provide the disclosure of the following. And it goes A through G, and then number 2 is, the following is disclosed to you pursuant to Penal Code 1034.3. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but basically what I did was I turned in the an informal discovery request for any information they have that they're using, because I have a letter from the city attorney that says they don't have a policy, they don't follow a policy. I have two guys that sat in a room with me and told me they're going to follow a CHP memorandum, and then I find out that after they looked at some stuff that I had given them, and they told me, yes, it's okay, now it's not okay, and I must be lying. There was two of us in the room on my side of the table that heard the same thing, and when I called the other person and told him what they said, he said, man, I can't believe that. And that's where we're at with that helmet ticket I got a couple weeks ago. The same thing with it irritated the piss right out of me. That this guy, they say one thing, and the funny part is, it was 4 months, 11 days, and 7 hours till he wrote the next helmet ticket. So, on paper, if you look at the records, no helmet tickets were written because they instituted something. Now, all of a sudden, because it's me on a different bike, they're going to start again. As far as I know, I'm the second one after this. One was on March 17th, and mine was on July 9th, on a Friday night, in front of the theater, at 8 o'clock in the evening, people, cars all over. But I was told about the other day about some paperwork. Where it's a psychological study where, you know, we've all heard it, we've all done it. And guy drives by your house at 9:30 at night, you're watching your favorite TV show, and you go, "Ah, man, that goddamn biker." And you know, how many times have we done it ourselves? So the thing that I didn't understand was with all this traffic and stuff, and then I realized, hold on a second, I got a caller. Hello, Art, are you there, Art? Did you get a new speaker thing? You're breaking up, buddy. I'm sorry?
Okay, I guess it's not working real well.
Yeah, you might want to hang up and try back.
Okay.
And I can't understand how he can make the determination without a sound meter, but the psychological study says, just like I said, if you're sitting in your house watching your favorite TV show, and boom, this happens. Guy drives by and makes a lot of noise. And the next thing I know, you know, this guy's pulling me over, telling me the reason he stopped me was because my pipe was too loud. Just to inform you, that's a 2003 anniversary night train with the regular aftermarket pipe on it instead of the stock mufflers. It's not loud. I've had it sound tested. And I don't understand how someone can make that determination. Are you there, Art?
Yeah, I'm here.
Art?
Yeah, feel any better?
Nah, you're still the same, man. You're like it's reverbing. I can hear you, but it's like it's all garbled, Art.
Okay, I'll try that other one, see if I can get some working. I'll back in a minute.
Okay. So, it just worked, you know, it worked out that way where the next thing I know is I'm getting a ticket, I'm getting my helmet confiscated, and they're not allowed to do that. They're allowed to take a picture. Just like I'm allowed to record the traffic stop because we're a one-party state. There's only three in the United States, and California happens to be one of them when you just tell them I'm turning it on. But I did feel kind of intimidated because there were three of them with guns, and I didn't have anything. Guns and tasers. So I just cooperated at that point, even though, you know, it was against my rights. I kept saying I refuse to give up those rights, and I will not give up those rights. Art, are you there, buddy? Art? Okay, it says here that we're experiencing some stuff in the chat. I'm not sure what that is. I'm receiving my little red light, so could be a couple of different things. It could be the guys outside my house. I don't know. But we'll figure it out here. I'm going to try. I might have to reboot. if I do reboot, I'll let you guys know and then I'll be right back. But that's what happened to me last week. I had my little security device went off and I went dead for a few minutes. And I was able to get back online. But still trying to, I'm going to try it one more time. Art, are you there, man? Art? Art? Art, are you there?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, a little better. Now you're gone. I don't know, they're having some, being that this is on the East Coast, they're having some issues back there last night with thunderstorms and tornadoes, I guess, but we're trying to straighten this out here. I'm going to do another thing here and see what happens. And please be patient. Just stay on the line. I'm going to try something else here. See how it works out. I'm going to switch gears. Okay, we're on. Don't know what's going on, but we're having some issues here, and hopefully I can do it from here. But if anybody listening, if you want to call in, I'm winging it. I'm by myself, and you can be the co-host for as long as you want to talk. That's what Art was trying to do, and we'll see what's going on. Typing in the chat, it's coming from the other end. We're okay here, so let's see if we can straighten this out a little bit. There are two people. Art hung up. He's probably going to try and dial back in. I'm going to send out a couple of things here. You know, there's a couple of things going on. I received a video from Rusty's band. It's Atticus7.com or www.Atticus7.com, and it's a really cool video. It was filmed at night, and it's a song called "Into the Blackness." It's a really cool song. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna see if I can get this going here. Art wasn't able to call in. I'm gonna do a couple of things here, and I wanna play this. I'm gonna play Rusty's song, and let me see if I can fix this problem we're having with the Blog Talk Radio. So I'm gonna play this song, and then. Go! That was Etika 7 out of the San Fernando Valley in California. They're on their way to London. They're going to do a show in London in August, the first week of August, I think it is. I'm not sure of the date. But I really don't want to... I really don't like I said before, Bill's sister passed away this week, and if you wanna give him a call, I'll put the number up in the chat room, but it'll be when you talk about this death, you know, it sucks. And I have an issue going on with my niece. She has some kind of a tumor in her head, and she just did some tests this week to see how much of her brain she uses. So that tells me it's not gonna look good down the road here. And it's kind of scary. She's only 22, my goddaughter. Great kid. But sounds like I'm rambling. I'm kind of rambling because I got hit with two. Those were two things that were devastating this week. And Bill and I have lost 13 friends since January to cancer. And sometimes it's not a good thing. I'm going to bring in a caller. Hello, caller.
Yo, Phil. This is John from over here in New Jersey.
How you doing, John?
All right, man. I wanted to continue on a little bit from what LJ and Chuck were on last night in reference to this trademark business. Maybe everybody's not.
Maybe here's what's happening. Just to bring everybody up to speed, there's a guy running around. I guess he happens to be an attorney, and he owns his company, and he goes out to biker runs, and he jumps on people with the skulls or anything that we've always had on, you know, always had on our shirts or on our bikes or tanks or anything, and he walks up and tells them, you know, you can't use that. It belongs to me, right? Am I right there?
Yeah, that's basically my interest in this is that I do a lot of advertising and design work, and occasionally I design logos and themes and things that that have to be and I recommend that that people trademark them. So I'm familiar with the trademark issue. First of all, there's two types of trademarks. There's a trademark that's issued by the Patents and Trademark Office. That's a federal thing, and each state has its own trademark laws. And you don't have to necessarily register a trademark. There's a little process you go through, a little dance that you go through, and you can basically establish a trademark. In your state, you know, you do a few things. It's not a complicated affair. And there is another issue. Trademarks are like, it's like that intellectual property where they come
like,
under, there's a fair
like
use kind of.
Once you trademark it, it's yours.
Once you've actually gone through the process, yeah. But even if you don't trademark a thing, There's still a concept of it's common law there. Once that trademark has been out, it's been in use. You know, people can identify with it. This whole thing. I mean, granted, that's all the information isn't out yet. I'm waiting to see what Chuck and LJ come up with and Chad. I'm really interested in this issue because I don't. Apparently, something's going. It's not easy to do what this guy is doing, and. Granted, I didn't get a whole lot of information last night, but that's a real complicated process. And the federal government is just as much interested in nobody pulling a lot of bullshit as you know, as we would be on the other end if you know, if he comes up to us and says you can't keep that on your T-shirt, or you can't do this, or you can't do that. I don't really know what's going on.
He better be a big guy in some of those places I go.
You know, I'm thinking maybe somebody should pay this guy a visit. I don't know what, Grant, I don't know what's going on yet, but this is a whole thing where everybody that has any kind of identifying mark, a logo, a you know, a piece of a graphic arts, anything that identifies you with something else, everybody out there is subject to whatever nonsense this character is trying to pull. I just don't think, you know, I don't have all the information, but it doesn't add up that he's able to go ahead and do this with impunity. He seems to be able to have a free hand at whatever it is he's doing. But I know generally from my end of it, having had to go through the and I'm in the middle of a process right now where me and several others are applying for a trademark. You know, we've already established the fact that just by organizing and identifying with this particular, you know, logo and slogan, we've essentially we've sort of like a de facto kind of a trademark. Now, if we go to the feds and the, you know, the Patent and Trade Office, and then go through that process of registration, that's a whole different thing. But you don't have to do that if, as long as I've been out there identifying with whatever, you know, slogan or graphics or image or whatever that I'm doing, that's pretty much enough. That's essentially what you need to do to establish, you know, that you and that trademark go hand in hand. And I don't get the whole picture. If that's as easy to do as he's doing it, and if he's not having any problem, if he's been able to do that, then everybody is at risk.
Yeah, I heard he's telling people he wants $30,000.
Yeah, that whole thing just doesn't add up. I mean,
it sounds like highway robbery.
Well, you know, as much as people, you know, get down on the feds and they're knocking them for this and knocking them for that, they've got a vested interest in not seeing that this happens too, because they will come. They can come after him as well as anybody else, because what he's doing violates a number of issues too. That you know, that's trademark abuse. You know, and it's
right.
And there's a whole thing out there that covers all. It's a complicated thing, but I hope that you know, Chuck and LJ get something up so that I've got my own spin on it. You know, I think, but I'd like to hear, you know, somebody else kind of whoever's got a little more information about this, and just kind of bring everybody up.
Let's see who this is, and
Sure,
hold on one second, John.
Yeah.
Hello, John. John? The person calling from 858, hello?
Yeah, hey, this is Art.
Oh, we got Art back online. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I came back on my cell phone instead.
You sound good, Art.
So, yeah, what we were talking about was last night on Chuck and LJ, we're talking about with Biker Chad out of Wisconsin. This guy's going to biker rallies and events and everything, and he walks up and tells people, you can't use that because it's my trademark. Amy, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I was looking at that, and they also said something about they had used some information they got off the internet, and they posted the originating site, you know, paid respects to where they got it from, so everybody would know. And I guess this guy is after them, that he doesn't want to talk about it. Basically, he wants to pull their show or pull that website and everything else. And I think it's pretty much bull, because, you know, if it's, they're talking about, you know, coming out with the skulls and stuff, how do you prove that that's yours?
Right.
I mean, you know, if you don't have
my mother manufactured mine, how's he going to prove it's his?
It may be, if he's got the patent on it.
Well, he'd have to establish that he had custody of that. He'd have to show a chain of custody, and going back to the very beginning of whenever that image came up, it's thousands of years old, the skull and crossbones. You know, it's like the swastika. It goes back thousands of years. Nobody can patent, trademark a swastika or called the sun wheel. Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, like when Harley went after the name Hog.
Yeah.
They said they had the right to it. It's like, wait a minute, that's something that's been used. And eventually, when somebody stood up and fought back, they lost. But as long as they've got the money, they've got the power to tell you you're going to do what they say.
Right.
So it's going to take somebody to stand up and go, who the heck are you? And where do you come from?
It's going to take a lot of Art, it's going to take, a lot of us, a community of us, to stay on top of this and kind of share whatever information. Because I design stuff. I don't want to, if I design something for a club or I design something for an individual, you know, and I get asked to do this all the time, I trademark that image. And I trademark if I do a call, you know, if I'm doing a club patch or this, that, or anything, I trademark and I advise them to go up there and trademark that. Now,
oh, definitely.
You know, and if that's kind of a lunatic, and he's a lunatic coming around, this guy might just make the rounds and just what he's doing is they do that. They used to do that with the internet domain names. They used to park these domain names. They'll go out and buy every freaking domain name that sounded like anything, and then when you went to apply for that domain name, you know, they'd advise you that the name's already taken, so you got to buy something that costs this guy $20. He might want $10,000 for it now. You know, so I think that's what he's doing. It sounds like he's parking these logos and trademarks. And I don't know if he's going from state to state and arguing about trademarks within the state, that's a whole different ball of wax. You know, but if he's challenging trademarks on the federal level, that's I don't see how the federal, you know, the trademark would put up with that. Patents and Trademark Office. I personally can't see that he's doing that. If he's doing that, that means nothing's sacred. Nobody's safe with anything. You're not sacred with a copyright, a patent, your name, your registration name.
There's
kind of unfold.
There's a lot of times that people design something out of their own mind, you know?
Yeah.
And after it's been developed and everything else, they find out, well, somebody already did that. At which point, usually, you know, the people come to him and say, hey, listen, we already own that. You can't do that. And it's like, oh, okay.
Well,
and
you know, that's
pretty much the end of it.
Yeah.
But sometimes you get the people that are going, well, you've been doing it now for 6 months, and now I want money for it because it's mine. You know, even though it's an honest mistake.
I just don't know what this guy's up to, but it's got me, you know, I'm intrigued, to say the least. Now, so far, I've never had a problem with trademarks, or because I make an effort to go out and check everything within, if I'm doing a design on something, and I make sure that nobody else, you know, is anywhere onto that. Granted, in another state, that may be a whole other issue. Maybe somebody's already thought of what I'm doing, but in New Jersey, it doesn't make any difference because it's not I haven't applied through the Patent and Trade Office, you know, for a federal trademark. That's
right.
A whole other ball. So we're dealing with two things here. The state and the federal level, and he might be pulling a lot of shit on the state level, and I don't know how he's getting away with it. But if he's doing that on big time across the country, somebody's got to put a stop to that. That's absolute insanity.
Yeah, somebody's got to call him on it. That's for sure.
Well, first we got to find out. I don't know what he's doing because there's not a whole lot of information out yet. You know, but I think when it finally does surface that. It behooves every one of us to keep on top of it because, gets a foot in the door like that. There's there's no guesswork about what, you know, where will they go next, or where will he go next, or where will somebody else go next? It's, you won't be able to do anything. You won't be able to have a logo, a patch, this, that, or anything because some knucklehead's going to, try to run that scam against you and. If he's got money or backing or resources, are you going to fight it? You know, it's a touchy thing. I would hate to have to design something for somebody and then have them come back to me 6 months later and say, "Well, look, somebody's suing the shit out of us, you designed this for us, but he claims it belongs to him." You know, so inadvertently, now that's got me thinking. It's got me a little little queasy, and you know, that I may have that kind of an issue down the road somewhere. And you know, like Chuck and Elton, you know, none of us have the resources to fight that in court. You know.
No.
I mean, nobody can afford that kind of a lawyer. He's. I think this whole thing it stinks from the head down. You know, and. So that's just my two cents as far as that particular issue goes. I think it deserves to be, you know, everybody kind of keep an eye on this and share whatever they've got on it. And that's my two cents worth for the night.
Yeah. No, it's, you know, it's crazy, man. Everybody, you know, it's like California. You know, your dog bites somebody and they want to own your house, you know. It's crazy.
I think I'd have a better chance fighting that dog, you know, a dog bite than something like this, because, you know, you put yourself out there, you know, he could come after everybody. He could come after Chuck and LJ. He could come after, you know, intellectual property rights are one thing.
He could come after me.
Yeah, you know, sure, you know, it's, he might say, look, I designed that Bolt logo years ago, or you guys didn't file for the trademark on it. And I filed for it, but my understanding is that through common law use, you've established that you're a Bolt.
Mm-hmm.
But if he applies for the, you know, if somebody wants to come after you, that's what they'll do. They'll go through the process, and you know, if they decide somewhere down the line it may be worth their while to, you know, to do that. Phil, do you actually have copyrights or trademarks on any of this?
The Bolt
logo?
No, I don't know. I haven't heard.
Well, I'll tell you.
You know, these guys are on their own. They, you know, there's nobody going to, you know, there's nobody going to try and jam with these guys. I mean, these guys are, they got this stuff locked up for the last almost 20 years, so I don't think so.
Well, this guy sounds like he's kind of, you know, he's a little adventurous, you know. So,
okay.
You know, it might not be a bad idea if this is in the wind, if nothing else, to you can have an unregistered trademark in California. Every state has a process to go through, you know, and you've established, you know, you've already established in actuality that, you know, that you guys are Bolt, you've been doing, you know, you're the organization, but... if that trademark is not in some way registered, even with the state, you know, that could be a problem down the road.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he thinks it's, you know, apparently it must be a profitable venture for him to do this. Otherwise, he wouldn't be going through all this trouble. You know,
yeah.
If you know, even if he didn't, for the most part, you don't know who's backing this guy up, where he's. You know, you don't know anything about him or you know, where his funding comes, who's backing him. You know, you don't know the whole picture. You don't see what's going on in the background there. And you know, that could be something entirely different than what it looks like. I mean, you know, once you take away somebody's identity, you know, almost like what they were doing with the MCs and, you know, like the Mongols, once you take their identity away, you've effectively closed them down. You know,
right,
and if they took Bolt away from you or Bad from, you know, from Hank or anybody, you're out there. You've got to start all over again to establish an identity. If somebody wants to put you out of business or effectively neutralize you, that's a good way to do it. This may have nothing to do with the money. This may be a whole other thing going on, like some kind of a COINTEL operation that, you know, it looks like they want the money, but in fact they don't give a rat's ass about the money. And they just want to shut the operations down. It's an effective way to do it. So that's something to think about. You know, that's my little bit of paranoia because I'm, you know, I'm trying to think a little bit out of the box about what might really be going on.
Right.
You know,
I don't know with this guy. You know, he sounds kind of ballsy, but I don't think he's that. You know, I don't think he's going to be that bright.
Well, I don't. You know, you don't know nothing about. I don't know anything about this guy.
Like you, I'm sitting here waiting to find out who it is too. You know,
I want to find out who this guy is, and you know, his organization behind him. And then When that comes, he may that may, you might be able to actually slow his roll down a little bit once he gets outed. You know, I don't know what he's up to, but that may slow him down enough. You know, once everybody gets onto the scam, he's been running this thing with probably no opposition. You know, but the word is, you know, the cat's out of the bag now. He can't get it back in, so you know, this may just put a little bit of a crimp in his activities. So you know, if nothing else, it slows him down a little bit. That the word is out, everybody's on to him. You know, it was easy to do because nobody was talking about it. I didn't know about it until I heard it last night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
You know, so that caught me off guard, and I started to think, you know.
As you were.
Yeah, I'm thinking, what the hell is, you know, what kind of a scam? Who is this guy, and what kind of a scam is he running? And that's my take on it, that it could be something entirely different than what it looks like. You know, so, all right, that's pretty much my rant for tonight.
Okay. What's on your mind, Art? I guess he's not wearing a tinfoil hat, huh?
Maybe I blow him off the line.
He's having some issues with his stuff.
Okay, I didn't have any problems on this end, so maybe it's something local that Arn has to deal with, but all right, that's pretty much what I wanted to say. I just wanted to touch base on that. And I'm definitely going to keep. This is something that I got a personal interest in. I want to make sure I know everything about this character, you know, because I don't want to have to face anything down the road with, you know.
No. It's like, I want to find out myself. But we'll see how that goes if those guys keep us in the loop.
Yeah, as long as they keep the information out there. And, you know, everybody kind of brainstormed this thing a little bit. If it gets a little traction, maybe it slows them down. And it may not
right.
slow them down at all. You know, I don't know who, you know. This guy might be just some kind of a freelancer. He caught on to a good thing. I mean, he's working it for whatever it's worth. And
he thought of something somebody else wasn't doing. You know, he probably did his homework.
Yeah, he did. And he just, you know, that's exactly what he, nobody was doing it. And he's done it for a while, and he's probably had no opposition or, you know, I don't know. It would seem to me that somewhere on, you just can't have he can't be rolling along like this winning all the time. You can't win all the time like that. That's another strange, if he's got this kind of success, it sounds to me that somebody's kind of paving the way for him. These things are trademarks and getting, you know, that's an issue that could tie you up in appeals and in that appeal process.
You know, you're gonna have,
you got to have bucks for that.
He's got to go out and rob somebody else so he can fight this shit.
Yeah, maybe that's it. You know, I don't know, but it's not an easy thing to do, and you know, I don't know how he's managed. I'd like to know how he's managed to do it, because I know even Chuck mentioned that he had been involved in a trademark, trademark application before, and he was right. That's you could spend thousands of dollars, and it could go on for years. The trademark office could deny you this and that and stall, and you could go back and forth for years.
It's like one of the major clubs. If you use any of their logos without their permission, they have trademark lawyers.
Now I don't think he's that crazy. I don't think he's that crazy or that. He might be he might be ballsy, but I don't think he's going that far.
Yeah, and as far as I understand, you're the only club that does.
Well, you know what? It's about time that everybody start thinking. Business-wise, it's here's another thought that the biker community, you know, that's a word that everybody talks about, but the biker community on a whole doesn't really own anything. All they do is they respond, they react to things, and you know, they'll get a little, they'll buzz around and they'll moan and groan about it and talk about it in a bar and have a few drinks, and then they walk away, and they don't deal with these issues, but things are coming down the line now.
Yeah, that's kind of like when that thing's out here with that Pavley bill. You know, when she said they were going to go back to 1983, man, my phone was ringing off the hook. Yeah. But when they went to 2000, all those guys disappeared.
Well, I know. You know, it's if everybody out there doesn't start thinking business-like, and they keep pissing on the same fires over and over again to put them out. You know. When somebody, you know, like when Baker goes into court, when he went into court with that beef he had, effectively he went into the when you go into a judge's court, you're in his backyard. You know, he has
exactly. More deals going in the back room than the front room.
He has no, we have nothing, no precedent on our side. There's been a couple of little victories here and there, but nothing major.
Yeah.
To back you up to go into court with. So when you go in there, that judge, you're in his ballpark. You're going to play by his rules. He's got all the law that he needs, and you've got nothing. You know, and
I have 6 feet of rope and a ball peen hammer.
Yeah. Well, that'll do for now. But eventually down the line, though, it's early in the I think people's awareness of just what they've got to do is just starting to develop. This is down the road a bit. This whole thing about awareness, the networking is just start. This is basically new. This, the whole thing hasn't been around that long, where
right.
People are networking and talking. So that's the first step, but everybody's got their own little camp, and they don't get out of that little camp. It's going
to
take.
I have my own little camp going, and that's why we're doing what we're doing now.
Well, that's okay.
Guys got one guy running around like a loose cannon, and then I found out that because everybody that he works with gets IA complaints for doing nothing, nobody wants to work with him.
what you're doing is necessary. That's the first step. But this is going to be an ongoing problem where everybody's complaining again, but they get beat up in court, and they get beat up because they don't own anything. They haven't set any precedent. They don't own anything out there in the world other than just a club or whatever whatever they belong to. That's all they have. They got really nothing in back of them. When you go into court, or when you go into your local police department, or your sheriff's, you've got nothing backing you up, and they've got everything.
Yeah, that goes along
up.
The lines of what I was talking about in the beginning when I talked to this guy yesterday on the phone, and he wanted me to drop off all the injunctions and statutes and shit. I'm thinking about it, going,
take a hike.
Yeah, I'm not. It's all on the internet. You can go get it on the internet. I mean, I can send them the links, but I'm not going to send them the information. Because I know what's going to happen. They're going to put this guy in a room for a fucking week or two and coach him.
Well, let him put the hours in. Let him do the homework, and then whatever results he gets out of it, then fine. And then he's earning his pay.
When I went in that room with the other person that was with me, and we talked to these guys, they basically told us we're done. We're not going to rent any more tickets. And this guy told me they said they didn't say that.
Well, it's
no.
What I'm trying to do is,
they recorded. I know they recorded us in that room. I know they did.
Well, you got to assume that the other side is doing everything that they can do. They do it because they can do it. It doesn't have to be legal. It doesn't have to be right. They do it because they can do it, and that's
exactly.
So I don't get up. That doesn't bother me.
When you go to their house.
You're on their turf. What do you expect?
You're on their turf, so you're kind of leery of things you usually do normally,
Yeah.
And I wasn't leery of that. And neither was the person with me. And every question or everything, I gave them paperwork. And all the stuff that they're telling me they wanted me to give them, I gave them copies of all that stuff, man. All of it. And that the one, even the one where it says that the CHP memo, where it says, you know, revised enforcement guidelines, other modes of transportation about motorcycles, you know, and this guy basically was like, well, I this is all new to me and da 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 da, and that's why I told him to go talk to those two guys. And basically they turned it around and said they didn't say it.
You've got to almost expect that the other side is going to jerk you. You know, whatever they, it doesn't mean anything what they say. It's when you leave the room, it's whatever they do that's, you know. They're going to lie as, you know, it's like the CIA. They have a saying about you always lie. You're always lying. You're always putting the other guy on the defense. And you're that's what you need to do.
I'm just calling regarding mom. I know that you're away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know,
okay.
And sometimes it just sucks. I mean, you know, this is the same guy that told me maybe I'll call and tell this guy that what your affiliations are, and we won't give you, you know, I understand you're going to get the proclamations that never showed up. You know? And they didn't hurt me. They didn't hurt me at all. They hurt the two veterans groups that I was helping those days.
Well, they don't give a rat's ass about vets. So I don't think any, you know, with the rare exception of the people that go out there and do, you know, make all
they're
these rides
vets.
And run on the events, and they're the ones that
no,
care. The
fucking
other ones, nope, nobody gives a shit.
Yeah, they're veterans. They're vets themselves. You know, this guy that's doing all the bullshit, he was a fucking jarhead once too.
Well,
the guy on a couple weeks ago was in the Marine Corps with him. And he told, and everybody listening can go back and listen to the archives, and they'll tell you what an asshole he is. When you're up in a fucking bar in Long Beach, and they hear where you're from, and they go, hey, by name, is that fucking guy still writing tickets? By name, in Long Beach, man, that's 100-something miles away from here.
he's got street cred already, the worst kind.
Exactly. You know? It's like
well,
this,
I'm never
man.
Surprised that I'm never surprised at anything. I mean, I always expect the worst, and most of the time you're never disappointed. So I'm never disappointed when things go south because more often than not, that's what's going to happen. You know,
right?
That's the nature of things. Unless your team is really well organized and they can roll together, and you know, and they're all on the same sheet of music.
My team is organized. We roll as one.
Yeah.
But I was told a long time ago by a very, very intelligent man, my father, and he told me, you deserve what you tolerate.
Well, sure, and that's why I listen to all the, you know, you listen to the callers, they call in and they're bitching about, they went to court and they got stopped and they got jerked around. Well, what the hell did you expect to happen? I mean, you went in there on your own, you might have tried to defend yourself. You go into that court, one of the things you got to understand is that judge, they deal, a good judge, not the political judges, they deal with facts and case law.
Yeah, but here it's different. Now, back there, you might see a real judge.
Yeah.
But here they have commissioners.
Well, I don't know.
And the commissioner is like a sitting judge. You know, he usually handles bullshit cases and traffic tickets and stuff. And they will tell you when you go in there for your arraignment, they will tell you when, where, what, and how to do it. Okay? And the first thing this guy says, guilty or not guilty, there's no such thing as not guilty with an explanation. and then you line up 10 or 12 at a time in front of this guy, and you go down the row, and then they give you your next date. You know?
Sounds like an assembly line.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's like a cash cow, man.
You know, one other thing, Phil, I want to say beforehand. When you go into anybody out there, when you go into a courtroom, into a judge's chambers, and or you're in a courtroom setting, you're not. If you start to bring up issues of constitutionality and freedom of this and freedom of right and First Amendment's right, that doesn't mean shit in a court of law. It's case law. It's you guys are arguing hard facts. It's you know, I was listening to Baker, and granted, you know, I'm sympathetic with him, but Baker. What wasn't it Baker that had the problem with the? Wasn't he? I think it was Baker, but he was in court.
No, that was Doc.
Was it Doc? All right. Well.
Doc.
And I'm listening to the conversation, you know, and it's got nothing to do with your rights. It's got nothing to do with the First Amendment, the Second, or any of the other amendments. It's got nothing to do with constitutionality. If you bring up issues of constitutionality, the judge will hold you in contempt of court. You're not in a court of law to discuss constitutionality. That's what the Supreme Court does. Everything
right.
else is, you know, and I listen to the callers, and I'm. And they don't get, they don't understand what they're face. They don't know what they're up against. You know, they really don't understand the system. And when
right.
when more people understand what's going on here, you know, it's not about fair play. It's not and it's not even whether you're right or wrong. It's what can I, you
no,
know,
and
it, you have to
like,
prove
it's
it.
It's just like this. It's just like this, John. Okay, I got stopped. Violated my First Amendment right to wearing what I need to wear. And Fourth Amendment right violations was the fact that I kept repeating, I do not give up those rights. You can't do it without a warrant, you know. And basically, they didn't look at my saddlebag. But that guy was bound and determined because he saw me turn the corner, so he knew who it was when he pulled me over. I know he did. Buy all he wants, but I know he did. I have a very unique look about me, and I stick out in a crowd. And when I turned that corner, he knew it was me. You know, not even 45 seconds into the conversation, he called me by my name.
Well, then, yeah, but Phil, you're one of the few that's in that category. The rest of them, the 98% or 99%, they're the victims. They're victims of the system that they don't understand, and no matter how many times you try to explain to them what they're dealing with, they still go back in and they retread the same old, you know, about my rights and when you understand that has nothing to do with anything, then at least the fog clears up. You know, it's then these guys that they go in and they think that they have. A good defense with, you know, and they're citing this, that, and the other thing, and the judge doesn't want to hear that. They don't, and that is not even relevant in a court of law. All the, you know, it's facts and
it's like it's just
law.
Like this, just like this. In California, they can't confiscate anything. Okay, here's the deal. This is my understanding. If I'm wrong, correct me. But here's the deal. If I'm standing there, and this guy says he confiscated my helmet for a safety violation, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the deal. Okay, how many cracked windshield tickets have you written? He says, okay, 50. How many of those 50 cracked windshields did you impound? Well, no, we didn't take it out of the car. But it was a safety violation. So you gave the guy a ticket and let him drive away with cracked window. Okay, this guy left me standing on the side of the road thinking he was going to inconvenience me. In a red zone, 6 feet from the curb, and the last thing he said to me was, you might want to move your bike in so you don't get hit.
Well, that's just humanity. It's amazing. That's the right...
What humanity? It's called being an asshole.
I know.
So, you know, it's like, or you know, they pull you over because you got a taillight out. Did you confiscate the bulb? Why not? You know, you wanted to, you're saying is evidence. Why didn't you confiscate the bulb? Why didn't you confiscate the windshield? You know? Because it says
well,
right
they
in,
don't have answers for that.
It's listening right here, okay? As a result of several court decisions and the terms of a partially vacated injunction placed against the department, it's extremely difficult to cite a motorcyclist for wearing helmets not in compliance with FMVSS 218. Therefore, officers shall not attempt to make the determination prior to or during an enforcement stop. Additionally, officers shall not seize any helmet or purported helmet as evidence to prove that a particular helmet worn by the violator does not meet BMSS 2:18. Okay? It says right here, officers shall focus enforcement on the action of the following. Motorcyclists not wearing a helmet. Motorcyclists wearing helmets that which are obviously not motorcycle helmets, such as a styrofoam bicycle helmet or a football helmet, a tin pot or a baseball cap. And number five, officers should not cite operators or passengers of a motorcycle, a motor-driven cycle, or a motorized bicycle for non-use of a helmet if that non-use was incidental to the off-highway use of the vehicle while crossing the highway. Okay? So in other words, you drive across the highway, they're going to give you a ticket? Don't make sense. Okay?
Yeah, but Phil?
Yeah.
You got to remember, you're working with professional assholes.
Yeah.
They're very professional at what they do, you're right.
Oh, they are.
You know,
and they
go ahead.
I was going to say, they take great pride in that, they seem.
It's just like this, it says the same thing. A helmet cannot disagree with the helmet because the manufacturer says it's a helmet by placing the dot symbol on it. And a police officer shall not try to disagree with the helmet manufacturer that a helmet is not a helmet by giving the helmet wearer a ticket for violating 27803. Okay? The problem arises when an officer follows a policy that conflicts with the law, such as the policy officers were taught years ago that a helmet violation is not a fixable violation. The law says that a helmet is a fixable violation. And the law must take priority over policy when the two conflict. So that's where we're at now. Okay? That's where we're at now with these guys. Now, I'm gonna go back to my formal discovery that I turned in, and I'm gonna read you two things that I turned in. Okay? I asked them for a copy of the policy or any policy that they follow relating to the enforcement of that vehicle code. I have a letter from the city attorney that says they have nothing on file for the five questions that I asked. And it said, then the next one in here, I asked for a copy of whatever reasonable regulations establishing specification and standards for safety helmets that one law enforcement agency has adopted pursuant to California Vehicle Code 27802. Then I hit him with, I want to see the written policy they have for authorization for confiscation of a vehicle equipment. Okay? And then I have another one. Another question that I sent him was, I want a copy of any of all documents or other evidence that shows that the defendant had actual knowledge that an independent testing laboratory had shown a determination of noncompliance with the Federal Motor Vehicle Safety Standard on the object the defendant had on his head at the time he issued me the citation. They have nothing. And I was told one night about a month and a half ago that we'll take and send your helmet out and test it. And I told her, you're going to have to buy six or seven more of those to match it to have that done. And she thought I was full of shit, and I told her, go look it up. And then when I seen her a couple weeks later, she told me, you were right. We have to test them all. So unless they're taking mine to test it with six or seven of the other ones, that's fine. Show me, because I have no, with certainty, I have asked numerous law enforcement guys, can you tell me with certainty what helmet I need to wear? And you know what the guy told me?
Well, the
National Highway Traffic Safety Administration doesn't certify helmets. DOT doesn't certify helmets. So
who the hell is certifying these helmets? Well, actually, nobody is.
Right.
The manufacturer.
That's what happened in China,
yeah.
All those helmets they sent here, that failed. Even in Massachusetts, I understand in Massachusetts, they took pictures of the policeman's helmets, checked the website, and found out that those helmets failed, went to the chief of that station, and the tickets got dismissed because how can you give somebody a ticket for something you wear on your head that is just as illegal as the one you said I'm wearing?
You know, what?
On a list.
Anyone could be a service that certifies, you know, that you have not approved helmets. But the three guys could get together and organize themselves into a company that provides certification. So all you have to basically, you can organize yourself and become your own DOT approved authority. You don't need.
Well, I'm here to tell you, sitting here right now, it's not against the law in the state of California to manufacture your own helmet.
And you don't even need to go that far. You can any helmet out there could be you could have a service that you bring your helmet to a group or a company that certifies that this is in fact a DOT approved helmet, not some company in China or some other godforsaken rat hole, a company right in California that you can pull this the paper right out of your pocket. Here's a DOT approved certificate from a California based company that says that this is it's probably one of the biggest scams that they're running out there. I don't have any grief with safety helmets per se, but what I do object to is all the nonsense that's gone behind it. I mean, it's a scam. There's all the other illegalities that it's a scam, and as however worthwhile it is to have helmets and to ride with the helmet on, and that's not the issue. The issue surrounding it is all the fraud and all the bullshit. There is no such thing DOT approved, and that in essence means nothing that you have a sticker on the back of your helmet.
Right.
It means nothing because anybody could put any sticker on the back of any friggin' helmet, and it's just as legal. And no, what police officer has a list of DOT approved companies? No, he doesn't know that. Nobody knows that. I don't know that.
Yeah, this guy got schooled that evening by a couple of people and a sergeant that everything I said was true, and that he couldn't confiscate my helmet. Well, they told him you can find all that shit on the internet. When you get off tonight, go home and look it up. So. When I called yesterday to find out how to get my helmet back, they told me I had to call him first. He'll never call me back. Then get a hold of the sergeant. And then the lieutenant told me he's going to be gone for a week and a half. So I'm like, I'm just going to wait and see what happens. I'm done. I'm not going to talk to him no more or nothing. Because every time I went down there, they're talking out of both sides of their face. And just because I go downtown and there's some elements downtown that they don't like and I happen to know a few of them, oh, well, tough shit. This is America. The last time I looked, when I went into Marine Corps, I fought for this country and I fought to be free here. So if I'm wrong, show me where I'm wrong.
It turns into a pissing contest instead of an issue that's based on facts and evidence and law. It just turns into a pissing contest between you and them. And and that's one thing that if we want to start winning, that's what we got to start thinking about. These other issues about whether he violated my right. Well, the judge wasn't here. They don't hear that. When you go up there and you tell them that, they don't hear that. They hear the police officer and they hear facts and figure. These guys, they got all their evidence lined up the minute you walk in there, and for the most part. From what I've been able to gather just by, the few conversations I've heard, we're walking in there with nothing to back us up other than just, we're pissed off and we feel that, we were treated wrongly. In fact, we were, but...
See, that's what I try and tell these guys, okay? You can get pissed off because you got the ticket. I'm not pissed off. I'm pissed.
No, that does no good. It's a wasted effort. It's a wasted emotion to get pissed off about anything for the most part.
Right, but what I'm saying is I'm not pissed that I got – I was actually happy. I was excited because I've been trying for months to get a ticket, trying for months to get anything. I've even run around without a helmet. And a guy pulled me over and wanted to know what the hammer was on top of my saddlebag, and I said I'd be more concerned about why I'm not wearing a helmet. I said, well, where's the helmet? It's in my saddlebag. Well, you might want to put it on. Well, when I left the courthouse, I wasn't going to wear it.
Well, if they give us the option to put it on or not put it on, then you don't put it on. You've exercised your right.
I mean, this guy, I drove away. I got about another 3 blocks before he pulled up to me and tapped the horn, and I pulled over and put it on.
Well, you know, I was sociable. It's a sociable thing to do. It's,
I mean, you know, he was polite and shit after I told him, you know. He kind of, his eyes almost popped out of his head when I said, because all I was wearing was a bandana, and I said, I'd be more worried about why I'm not wearing a helmet. You know? I mean, if you go outside and you ride your bike without a helmet, it's a fix-it ticket. It's a fix-it ticket. But if you ride with a helmet that they don't like, it's $175. So it's like I said, you know, we're $29 billion in the hole. That money from somewhere.
Well, we're going to, the issue has yet to be, the issue hasn't been clarified. It hasn't solidified yet. Nothing's really been established, nothing's really been accomplished in the little bit of, you know, this has been in the court system. It really has to get challenged in a big way all across the board about, you know,
Well, that's what we're doing. You know, I tried to explain to guys. Just because you got the ticket, don't be pissed off. Be happy.
No, that's just what you look. That's the ticket into the. That opens. That's the key to open the friggin' door. I mean,
exactly.
That's what you need. You know, you absolutely need that.
Yeah.
You know, you got to sacrifice yourself for, you know, for the cause up to a point, so you can get into the mix. I mean, that's exactly what I'd be doing if I wanted to make an issue out of this over here in New Jersey. I would be out there, I'd be riding with bare ass naked if I thought that would get me, you know, get me the attention that I need. But issue out here is not a big issue in New Jersey. There is very little concern about the helmet issue in Jersey. I mean, there's just nobody talks about it's just the.
I hate to tell you, but there's a little concern for a lot of things in New Jersey.
Well, I mean, we're in yeah, but you know, we've got our own problems up here, but yeah.
Oh, we all got problems, man. We all got problems, you know.
But this is kind of like a testing ground over in New Jersey and Pennsylvania. You know, the shit starts over here, and then it gradually spreads out across the country. So when something comes down over here, it's a question of 6 months or a year from now that you're going to get it.
Yeah, well, look what's happening in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, vice versa, too. A lot of things. You start here and then grow your way.
Yeah. I mean, look it. We got this Pavley bill, and we got a guy from Boston endorsing the bill. You know, and he's going out and telling everybody, yeah, there was 250 tickets issued yet, and the judge didn't even want to hear it at the Supreme Court level because no tickets were issued.
There's a lot of big players that are in there.
Yeah, and then I seen an article that said that the law might be unenforceable.
Well, there's a lot of big money in the mix here that, you know, what we're up against is people that are super organized. They're organized nationally all across the board. They've got, there's hundreds of little agencies out there, little groups, think tanks, advertising. You know, when something like this gets off the ground, these people have spent a lot of time and money and effort and organization to bring that thing into the, you know, into the legislature and into a, you know, there's a lot of money and a lot of big power behind that, you know, and that's what none of us have on our side, and that's
right.
That's why we're
right.
You're always reacting to a situation instead of being able to initiate it on your own because you don't have the money, the organization. You know, these guys are all set up; they're ready to rock and roll on the slightest from coast to coast. You know, and that's
companies get
behind it, and
yeah, I've had guys say that, you know, you guys need to get more tickets to go back, you know, against the federal injunction, and some of those guys saying it are afraid to go get a ticket.
Well, what do you got to lose? You know, worst comes to worst, you know, you'll end up paying the ticket, but you may get an opportunity you never had, you know, to set up some precedent. You know, and that's what it's all about is just precedent, which is probably it's what you're doing out there in California is you're trying to establish some precedent and case law, you know, to bring this out, which nobody, they don't want that to happen.
The case law is already there. They're violating the federal injunction. They're letting this guy violate a federal injunction.
Well, that's because they can.
They're backing him up. The funny part is, I seen him all last week and all last weekend. He's in a car by himself because the other guys, I guess, just don't want to be with him because they don't need something stuck in their jacket for nothing.
Yeah, I know.
Being in the car with him, you know? I mean, when I filled out my IA complaints, the guy asked me straight up, what about the other two guys? They were there. I asked the one guy, you're condoning this? When he said, I'll talk to you when he's done, screw it. I figured if I'm going to fill one, this is still as easy to fill out three.
Just as cheap. Don't cost any more.
Which I know I'll never hear about it unless I have my attorney guy go down there and file an injunction.
Don't all the police departments have manuals on the procedure within the the police departments and how they're supposed to conduct all that stuff?
I can send you the copy of the letter from the city that I have, dude, that three times where they say they have no policy, procedure, or anything on file for helmets. Nothing.
Well, it's vague and it's vague law is unconstitutional. I mean, it's
that
vague
kind,
and confusing.
It's ad hoc and arbitrary.
Yeah, it's arbitrary and you know that is a constitutional issue. That's something that would be decided on an appeal level.
Well, you know, it's like when the guy gave the commissioner all this stuff to read. He actually, I sat there last weekend and listened to his CD, and he was intimidated. You could tell by his talk, and I told him that. He was sitting there, and he'd stop, and he'd play it, and he'd stop it, and when he stopped it, I'd tell him he should have did this, and I'd tell him he should have did that. You know, it's just like when the commissioner starts talking, you know, just tell him all you have to do is say, I object, and I'd like an 1118 motion and see what happens.
Well, that's an old lawyer's trick, is object to everything.
Oh,
get up there and just object to everything. Object to the fact that somebody got up and object to the fact that he sat down and object when he gets up. You know, lawyers do that in court as a matter of fact. That's object.
That's when I was listening to CD and I was talking to him and I said, every time this guy opened his mouth and listened to what he said, he should have objected.
Absolutely, sure.
This is the first one where I really got into it and this and that because he was just off that win in San Bernardino, you know, where the judge, they found him not guilty because he had the right paperwork, okay? And maybe I didn't give him everything he needed, but I gave him everything that I used, and I won my appeal. And I figured that's it. But when this guy, when the cop switched gears and started talking out of his ass, that's when the commissioner bought into it. So at the end of it, he says, okay, look, we're an hour and 15 minutes into this. Are you at the end of whatever you're talking about? Now, what does that tell you? You just bored that fucking guy for an hour and 15 minutes, you know?
Yeah, that's,
I'd have to let him let me listen, you know, put the CD on air and listen. But he did everything right he was supposed to do. It's just that the fact that those two guys over there, if I learned a long time ago, if you can dazzle them and you know exactly what you're talking about and you have all your ducks in a row, you're probably going to win.
Well, it's the art of war. You know, a war is won before the first shot's fired. And,
that's right.
And that's essentially, and I wish most of the people that call up and they're in court for this, that, or the other thing, realize that before they got in there, it was either won or they either won or lost it, and before they even stepped in the door, you know, and so
I got the feeling that everybody's going to be there when I go, and I really don't care because if I get my chance to say what, you know, it's like I said, you know, when the guy starts talking and you object and tell him you want an 1118 motion, watch what happens. That you just told them, I don't think you're qualified to do this, and I want you to recuse yourself.
Because you got nothing to lose. You have nothing to lose by stepping out there and making even an outrageous demand. Even if it's totally outrageous, you know, the judge will he'll shoot you down. But you can't take that back. They can't take back. They can't take it back once it's been said. And if you're in front of a jury, they hear it. Once the word gets out, the judge can say you're supposed to disregard this, that, or the other thing. Well, that doesn't mean anything. It's already been said. They heard it.
Once it's said, the seed is planted.
Oh, sure. It's a little psych out. It's just it's a little psychological warfare going on with all. All right. Well, let me hang up, Phil. But that's basically it. I just want to keep on top of this trademark thing and. I'm just
before I do. If I get it before you do, I'll send you. I'll CC you.
Yeah, I want to snoop around myself and see if I can't pick up some trails
sure.
of this thing because I suspect there may be something more going on than that's evident on the surface. From what I understand of it, this guy's just operating out there. He's like Colonel Kurtz out in Apocalypse Now. He's just way out there and. He's operating on his own, and that's not the way the system works.
Stay on the line for a minute, John.
Yeah.
Hello, Betsy.
Yes, Phil.
How are you? Say hello to John and Art.
Hi,
Betsy,
John.
How you doing?
Hi, Art.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Betsy.
How you doing?
Okay.
John, Betsy's in Massachusetts. And, Betsy's the one that told me about the cops wearing the wrong helmet. It didn't pass any safety tests. Is that correct, Betsy?
Wait a minute. Yeah, the dog's howling. Hold on. Pumpkin! Sorry about that. Say that again, honey.
I said when you guys presented the chief with the pictures of the helmets that they wore, or
right.
the information
yeah,
that
Bill,
the helmets they
Bill
wear was...
Bill had gone to an event, and the state police were there, and he was looking at their helmets and took down the model number and went back and checked it out, took a picture of the guy, and noticed that the helmets they were wearing weren't on the DOT-approved list. And that broke the whole situation wide open because at that point in time they were ticketing us like crazy for the novelty helmets, and here we get back in their faces and say, hey guys, you're ticketing us, and were you aware that the helmets you're wearing aren't even DOT approved or on any list or anything? And they were like, what? So they issued a mandate that stopped all of that business. But I just heard they're starting it now in Vermont.
Right.
And I'm waiting
that too.
Yeah, I'm waiting to get some paperwork on that. But so that's what happened here. And that had to be back in, 12 years ago.
Now, your state had a list of DOT-approved helmets that they certified as good ones?
No. But evidently there was a list at that point in time somewhere of helmets that had been tested and been approved. Now, my understanding is that every year there are only 7 out of all of the helmets that are manufactured that ever get tested and get approved. I mean, that's a real low percentage of the number of helmets that are manufactured each year.
Yeah. Now, they don't have to retest every year, do they? Once they're tested and found to be good, that's good for life for manufacturing purposes, right?
Yeah, I don't know about that, to be honest with you.
I don't know
if a one-time certification is it for life.
Where's the product liability on this? Who's responsible for product liability?
Now, wait a minute. That's an interesting concept there in itself, because most of the manufacturers are no longer on U.S. shores to avoid liability claims.
Well, there's a whole can of worms here, and nobody's addressing the real issues. and they're dancing around with, you know, they already know that they're wrong.
Right.
You know, they already know that that they're pissing in the wind, and yet they won't. You know, they've got some
issues. They won't relent.
You know, and they won't relent, and they only not to give up. You know, they don't want to be perceived as having lost. You know, to unprofessionals, amateurs like themselves. You know, and they consider themselves, you know, above the fray, and we're just kind of like interlopers that shouldn't be asking any questions about any of this. But
it's our right to ask questions.
Well, absolutely. It's
My mother told me when I was a kid, if you don't understand it, ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
I ask questions every time. I walk up to these guys and I ask them questions and they can't answer them.
Exactly.
And then I say, well, how can you effectively enforce something that you don't understand or you can't answer?
And my biggest issue with the whole thing is that on the helmets they do test, they only test them at speeds of 13.5 miles per hour, except for Snell, which does 15 miles an hour. Excuse me, how often are we going that speed? When we're either accelerating or when we're slowing down, our median speed is 50 and over. So how can you mandate that a piece of equipment that's only been tested, and it's only tested at one point, which is right at the tippy top of the head, how can you mandate that this is a piece of safety equipment that has to be worn by people?
You know, here's the other side of that coin. Now, let me finish before you guys jump on me. Here's the deal. I'm 52 years old. I'm trying to talk to these young guys and tell them, if you don't help stop this shit now, by the time you get to be my age, you might not be able to ride a bike.
Exactly. In China...
And they look at me like I'm smoking crack.
No. In China, in the major cities, it's illegal to ride a motorcycle.
Well, yeah, there's 750 billion people.
And that's happening today. Granted, it's not here on our shores, but how long do you think it'll be before it gets here?
Well, you know, it's just like all this stuff we're hearing, you know, and I'm waiting. It's gonna be. I guarantee within the next 3 to 5 years, we're gonna be all under European standards. Every state in the United States.
And that's gonna be a horrible, terrible thing.
Yes.
You know,
it's gonna be an extension of the European Union over here, and you know, it'll be the colonies.
I have
just like the colonies again.
I have an email that was sent to me, and I'll look for it and I'll find it for you guys. But let me explain it to you. Guy's in Italy, okay?
Yeah.
He's riding the Ducati 666, okay? He's wearing a full face helmet. The girl on the back is naked but wearing a helmet.
Oh yes, I saw that.
I just seen this, okay? They rode around town all day. All she had on was the helmet. Throwing her arms out, flashing her boobs, everything. Standing up on the pegs, the whole shot. They didn't get pulled over until she took the helmet off. So there you go, John. You can ride around naked, but as long as you have a helmet on, you'll be okay.
I was right, and I didn't even know. You know, I was thinking maybe we ought to send
now that I want to see.
We'd ask Mythbusters if they would do a little... a little expose on helmets to see if there's any validity at, you know, well, what happens at 13? They did?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
I'd like to see that.
I think if you Google them on their website, they've already done that. But they did what Betsy said. They staged accidents with helmets at 25
miles an hour.
Yeah, 25, 30, above what they said to see what would happen because they're only certified to a certain point. They tested them to see what happened beyond that. I mean, like, when I got in my accident last year and they took my beanie helmet off at the hospital, the doctor looked me right dead in the eye and told me, if you were wearing a full-face helmet, we'd be putting a sheet over you right now.
Right. Well, I know a girl who lost her life. You know, some kid was reaching for a cell phone. She had a full-face helmet on. It snapped her neck. And she died instantly.
Mm-hmm. It only takes 7 pounds of pressure to break your neck.
Really?
Yep. That's why when that's why in LA they eliminated the chokehold years ago. You know,
no,
the one where they put
good.
You in to knock you out, where they were actually killing people.
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
They were snapping
so
their
what
neck.
What was the actual results of that, the Mythbusters? Did they fail at a certain point, like above 35, or did they fail at all?
They failed at 25. They cracked. Wow. They cracked. They inverted. Because they had it on a mannequin head.
Is it like on YouTube or something? We could look at it or whatever?
Let me find it and I'll send it to you guys since
okay.
I have all your...
Yeah, that's interesting because that
I
should be like a basis for...
sent to all the legislators in every
yeah.
state
yeah,
where there's a helmet law. That
yeah.
piece.
You know, that's
I
independent testing, and it's that's
right.
that contradicts what, you know, what DOT
I mean,
is.
Guys, think about it. Where else in society do you find a piece of safety equipment that has not been proven safe be mandated that it's used? Where else?
Well, it's just like I told you. It's just like I told you, Betsy, when we had conversations, and I said, and you agreed to me when I said, the guy gave you a ticket for not wearing your seatbelt. Did he confiscate the seatbelt?
No. Of course not.
Of course not.
Yes?
Well, that whole situation is another Pandora's box, and that remains to be seen what's going to happen in that situation.
Hey, that's just like when they go to court and they confiscated my helmet, and the guy says, is that the helmet you were wearing? I don't know. Can I see it? They put it in my hands. I'm not giving it back.
Well, it's yours. Possession is 9/10 of the law. If you've got it, it's yours.
Right.
Mine.
But, I mean, without a warrant, he had no reason to take it anyway.
Well, you know, yeah, but, you
I
know.
I mean, if he was going to write you a ticket and have a nice day, but he doesn't have the right to take your personal property.
Oh, he tried to inconvenience me because he didn't think I had another helmet. That's why. Well, he figured I had
yeah,
to call.
Yeah, he thought you were going to have to just sit there at the side of the road. Not.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's just like when they did that, and I pulled out my phone, and I had a helmet there in 15 minutes. And it happened to be, I had a choice. I had three of them on the shelf. And I told my son to bring me the full face. So I put the full face on, and I rode around on the same bike the rest of the night. Nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
So later on, I was standing there with my son with the girls walked up with my son, and the next thing I know, they wanted to know if the girls were working for me, and I said, yeah, they brought me the money. We share.
Wow.
That's how crazy these guys are.
So I'd like to see that. I'd like that link for the Mythbusters. I really like this.
I have to go into my file and I think it's under
Mythbusters. Well, you could probably Google it and come up with it, no?
Yeah, I'd like to. I may contact them and you know, and ask them. You know, those guys are pretty approachable, and see what. You know, they've already done independent testing. It's
They did a drop test. They hit it with a hammer. They hit one with a hammer and went right through it, put a hole in it.
Wow.
Well, somebody's got to send that right to NHTSA and find out what the hell's going on. You know, it's a...
Well, yeah, here's what NHTSA's going to tell you. It's a TV show. They did it for drama on the TV show. Okay, look, here's another scenario on that one.
Well, you know what, then why don't we see if Mythbusters can invite NHTSA representatives and recreate the testing?
Well, sure.
The challenge, that's a challenge
right
to their...
That would be nice.
That's a challenge to their, you know, to their authenticity. They're just what they're saying is
they
that Mythbusters are.
They do it because they can do it.
Yeah.
Right. But here's the thing to that. Just like okay, you guys all remember when the Sons of Anarchy came out, right?
Back in
remember
the day.
Remember the TV show The Sons of Anarchy about the biker gang in Charming, California?
Oh, it's my favorite cable show.
Okay, well, if you go on my Facebook page, you'll see pictures of the day I spent with those guys. I spent the
weekend. Yeah, I saw that with the,
Well, Kim Cousins, I was a good-looking one, but that's another story. But when that show first came out, and guys were wearing those shirts downtown, they were pulling them over. That's how all this helmet tickets bullshit started.
That's ridiculous.
They thought they were a biker gang moving into town.
That's to show you how far out of the loop those guys are.
The mentality is unbelievable.
You know, the standards these guys are going from the 70s. Standard, that's the what this guy's doing is shit they taught him in the academy. That didn't change with the times. You know, there's a thing out there called biker rights, or Biker 101, that they teach these guys in the academy. And it tells them, be careful what you say to these guys because they're conducting an investigation too. You know, and I know, since we all have cell phones, that you roll up on a checkpoint a mile back and you already know what's going on. How many times have you pulled over and told everybody to go the other way because they got one going?
Mm-hmm.
Problem. And then they figure it out, so now they got one. They figure which route you're going to go. They'll set up the small one here and the major one. You won't see it until you turn the corner and there's nowhere to go. So you're screwed either way.
Well,
you know, it's like, Art, you were with me when we did that helmet ride in San Diego. Do you remember what that cop said?
Oh, that they were just going to let us go. It wasn't worth bothering with us today.
Exactly.
That's terrible.
You know why? Because there were just too many of you. And one
they
of,
did.
Oh, for one day, for one day, for one day out of the year, they didn't give a shit.
Yep. And they lost a bunch of money a few years ago when they got the whole group, so they want to get individuals.
Yeah, they lost 140 grand.
Wow.
And right now I'm at the point where all I got to do is change the names and the cast of characters and settle on this lawsuit with this guy's. I'm just waiting. I got half of the people that have got retickets over the years with this guy. And as soon as I get a few more, according to the attorney, I need at least 25 more. I get those, we're good to go. Then it's a varied opinion on all those people. Who have all said they will
be overturned.
There you go. That's where I'm trying to go.
If that happens.
That's where I'm trying to go.
Well, I know.
You know, Art will tell you. Art will tell you. He's been at some places with me, and he's heard me talk. And I don't know if he knows or if he thinks I know what I'm talking about, but he listened to me. So obviously he knew I knew what I was talking about. And he talked to some other people in the same thing. And when I mentioned that Art wanted to become, and I'm not going to say it. Don't say it, Betsy. But the group that we're in, he made some phone calls and they talked to him. And one person had told me he wasn't sure. And it was kind of along the same lines of that stuff that happened with you, Betsy, with you guys on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
So the right hand has to the left hand, and then everybody has to come to a unanimous decision to say yay or nay.
Yeah, I seem to have been a controversial person.
Well, you're like me. Say what you feel, and don't worry about hurting anybody's feelings, because if you don't want to know the answer, don't ask me the question.
Mm-hmm, basically.
Oh, I was at work the other day, and I talked to the safety guy, and I asked him about the hard hats we wear. I asked him who certified them. I'm still waiting to hear from him.
Mattel certified them. There's those little toy helmets, sir.
I thought ANSI signed those.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
I don't know. I seen him today, but he was on his bike riding the other way. He made off like he didn't see me, so he knows I'm still looking for an answer. And I guarantee I guarantee if one of my guys does something wrong, this guy's right there. But when it comes to getting an answer, he disappears.
So let me ask a question. Here's a hypothetical. Let's say you're on the job, you got your hard hat on. Something falls and hits somebody on the head, and the worst case scenario, you know, they are fatally injured. Is there any liability against the hard hat manufacturer? Interesting question, huh?
Sorry, say that again.
Well, it's product liability. You know, there has to
exactly.
There has to be liability. You know.
Exactly, but I'm saying, what are the exclusions in the product liability? Do you know what I mean? Yes, we guarantee this to be. This is a piece of safety equipment, but you know, if you get injured, all bets are off.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it seems like with the helmets. This is a piece of safety equipment, and you should wear this because it's good for you. But it hasn't been tested to be safe at speeds you ride at, and nobody wants to take any blame if anybody gets hurt. They've all scattered and left the states. I mean, it's up. When you think about it and look at it in black and white, it is absurd.
It's surrealistic. It's...
like the tires they recall.
Well, what about the airbags? There was some talk at one point in time about making it mandatory for bikes to have airbags. I can just see it now. An airbag goes off and people go flying down the street. If the accident doesn't kill you, the damn airbag will.
Well, yeah, that's just like now where everybody has to have, all the new bikes are coming out with anti-lock brakes.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's a mandated thing because they think it's safer. What happened to our choice in life?
It's well, you don't
gone.
Have a choice if you don't have the muscle to back it up. I mean, we have no muscle on our side with, by and large. There's a few victories. There's minor little firefights that we win here and there. Beyond that, there's no national effort, and there's
no concerted
effort.
Exactly.
We're not cohesive
and organized as some groups. I will say, and I'll give you a for instance, in Massachusetts, I want to say about 6 years ago, it was even in the newspapers that the lobbyists, us, bikers' rights activists, we got more legislation passed through in 1 year than any other group, and the legislators, everybody stepped back, and they were like, wow, this group is powerful. They know what they're doing. But the problem is, you know, people get burnt out, and, you know, the young people, until something hits home or they get a ticket for something, they can't be bothered, and
exactly.
That's distressing.
You know, you remember the congressman that was there, but don't say his name.
Oh, yeah, I know him.
Okay, I called him. And I asked him, how can I handle this? What do I need to do? And you know what his response was? Let me know the outcome of the court case.
That's about what I expect out of him.
Wait. And I go, and what are we going to do after that? He goes, no. He goes, win or lose. Call me back. And I go, okay, then what? He goes, then if you lose, we have ammo. If you win, we have ammo. And I said, okay, if I win, then what's, you know? He goes, no. We'll see if we can change things so you don't have to go to win. So he was, you know, and he's been out there every year we've done that, and all the time he's been there, he's there. He'll answer. He'll help if he can. So I'm waiting to see. And that lady that was running around, she gave me her card. I called her. He called me. When he called me back, he called me from Washington, D.C., man.
Cool.
Okay.
Well, see, that's a political. That's where, you know, politics works because, you know, there's different kinds of politics, but. He understands how the game is played. He understands the game, and the great majority of us
He also understands it as the biker community. He can count for votes.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's on the biker side since he's been elected. If we have any kind of event, he makes time to be there. And he's never missed one of these helmet rides either. He's always there. He doesn't see eye to eye with the guy we were at the dealer with, does he, Art?
Politically, no.
Right.
Not at all.
But as two guys on the street, they're like buddies. But when it comes to the opinions, and everybody has one, they're just like assholes. Everybody has one. Some are better than others. But I was very surprised that when I talked to her, he returned my call, not her. He returned my call. And the funny part was, he remembered me, and he knew my name.
Well, you're a difficult character to forget.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Well, I meant that in the nicest of ways.
No, you did. Giving you
shit. I did.
I know you did. I believe you.
Okay.
It's your story, but I believe you.
Oh, here we go.
Who is Lulu from Mexico City? What the... She's a...
She was in last week, wasn't she, Phil?
Yeah.
Is she really from Mexico City?
Yeah. I tell you, we're worldwide, man.
Wow. Lulu from Mexico City. She sounds interesting.
I just happen to know who that is.
There's probably a story behind it.
Yeah, I'm sure there is.
That one's mine, and I don't plan on sharing right now. That's a whole episode
of
another
show.
But no, you know, I was very surprised this guy called me back. I was actually, I think I told you about that when he called me, Betsy.
Mhm.
Yeah. And yeah.
Well, that's good. That's what you want from a politician.
Yeah.
That's true. He, and I mean, are you heard him speak? How did he sound? Was he sincere?
Yeah. He was.
You know, one of the things we're going to have to overcome is decades of motorcyclists and bikers as a whole not having done anything for the most part and not having gotten involved. Now when it's crunch, you know, it's crunch time now, and everybody's finding it's a little harder to, you know, to be at all the different places you got to be and put all the little fires that bring it up here and there. Well, you know, where were all the national clubs and, you know, and MC, where were they decades, where are they now in reference to all of this stuff? I mean, I don't hear a whole lot going on now. I don't hear some of the national more well-known groups, you know, coming on board and getting
involved,
what it boils down to is you got the sins of the few being visited on the many because you know it's overcoming a lot of years of bad publicity and bad press and bad actions and bad, you know. Well, now,
that's like,
you know,
that's like when Paul took his grandkids to go get some shrimp, and they wouldn't let him in because he was wearing a biker shirt. Told him he had to put on a shirt.
Bill.
Bill?
Well,
no,
you know,
it was Bill? I thought it
yeah,
was Paul.
Yeah, no, it was Bill. Yeah.
Yeah.
He went to take his grandson.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't let him in because he had a motorcycle shirt on.
Well,
yeah.
You know, hysteria has taken over now. It's... it's not rational. It's not a rational approach, but, you know, it's bad karma.
There was a guy here from three towns over with his wife. They were downtown at one of the Mexican restaurants sitting on the patio eating. And six club guys happened to drive by. And if you've ever, club I'm talking about, I'm not going to say the name, but they ride hard and fast because I've ridden with them. And they went by. The next day on the editorial page, this guy wanted to know if we were being taken over by that club, are we going to have prostitution, drugs, kinds of shit going on. And I'm here to tell you, I've been here 25 years, and I live outside the biggest military base on the West Coast. And if this guy lives three towns over, he needs to come downtown more often on a Friday night on a payday. You won't see one of those club guys here, but you'll see the pimps and the whores from L.A., the pimps and the whores from San Diego, the pimps and the whores that come from Nevada. The drug dealers walking around with backpacks on bicycles. Worried about some guys on bikes wearing a helmet that they don't approve of. They think I go down there and they just stand around and I'm there to try and antagonize, but I'm watching, and I see what goes on. And I've watched drug deals go on 30 feet from me, on the other side of the street.
Well, that's because we've got some serious problems that aren't being addressed. You know, it's
the problem is the guy wearing a helmet that some asshole doesn't approve of.
Yeah. Well, how'd you like
the guy? One of the guys in that meeting tell me, you've been here a long time. You know what happened here in the 80s and the 90s. And I go, yeah, I know what happened in the late 70s when I was first here. And it's cleaned up. It's totally changed. I go, and here's my feeling on this. And you guys can correct me if I'm wrong. But if you have any kind of a club, a major club, you don't have a lot of that shit. Then when they can't find nothing on anybody around after the club is here, they go after the club. I've been in bars and walked in with guys, and the fight starts because the clowns on hey man, yeah, I had a Harley, my dad had a Harley, all that bullshit, and that's when the fight starts. But where I've been and I've had these guys at my house. And I live in where I live is one of the safest places around right now. And not because of who I am or what I do, it's because there's a respect over here now. I mean, I can walk outside, I can call this from my cell phone and walk outside and let these two guys and talk to these two guys and try and talk to them on the radio. They'll probably roll up the windows and drive away.
Yeah.
And I'm also here to tell you, I'm going to let this out. I wasn't going to say nothing this week, but I'm going to do my show from the bar that I stand in front of. So I will be in that bar. I don't drink.
that's local color.
Yeah.
No, I may not be around next Thursday.
No, that's okay. I'm going to do it for a while.
Or the Thursday after that.
I know where you're going to be. If you want to tell everybody, go ahead. You can brag.
No, it's okay.
Sure? Sure? You want me to tell them for you?
Okay, go ahead.
Bessie got inducted to the Motorcycle Hall of Fame. It's 13.
Outstanding.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Wow, that's a trophy.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, when you found out you were more ecstatic, you sound like you're at a morgue right now.
Oh, I had a day from hell. You don't even want to hear about it.
That's okay. We all have those. And you know what you do? You take a deep breath and move on because tomorrow's another day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Happened yesterday is the past. I live in the future.
Yeah.
Oh. So what do you think about winning that one down in Oklahoma?
Oh,
yeah.
With the colors? That was
huge. The colors at that lake.
Yep, that's huge. Well, you know, it is discrimination at its core. And, you know, when you get the right judge, you get the right people and the right attorneys. I mean, it's simple constitutional rights.
Yeah, but that's not what got it for us. What got it was everybody banding together and saying, hey, listen, we aren't going to come.
Exactly.
And
well,
finally the biker community stood up.
No, and that's it. If we can unify ourselves and stand
you couldn't have done that
ground.
20 years ago. That would have been an impossible thing because no one is even thinking in that space, even 10 years ago maybe.
Yeah, the internet made all the difference.
Yeah, you couldn't
definitely.
Pull any of that off. 10 years ago, to be sure. And 20 years ago, nobody was even thinking about it. And that's the one tool that we have today. And there's no reason why there isn't more, you know, things aren't getting a little more interconnected than they are.
Well,
there's still a lot of
that,
apathy out there. It's,
that's part of the reason that I'm being inducted into the Hall of Fame. And I'm not going to try and pat myself on the back, but it's a passion for me. It all started like 13 years ago, and I realized there was nowhere to get centrally to get information, and it bothered me that, you know, things were happening here that I knew would be happening there, and we were all interconnected, and people just weren't being informed about what was going on and their rights and everything. So everywhere I went, I started grabbing email addresses, and I started compiling a newsletter, and every morning before I go to work, I get up at like 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, I get on the computer, I signed up for all these news services, and I get thousands of emails a day. I sift through it, I put the news together, and I blast it out in an e-zine, and I've been doing it every single day, officially, for the past 11 years. And it's a central place for people to get information, the stuff that's going on in Oklahoma, what's happening in Vermont, what's going on out there in California, here in Massachusetts, New York, everything. It's all there. If it makes the news, I find it and put it out. And I wish I could get it even bigger and better, but the Internet has, the whole thing with Facebook has increased the readership unbelievably, and it just shows you how powerful a tool the Internet can be.
Are you on Facebook?
Yes, I am, honey.
What's your address on Facebook?
My address?
Well, what's your, who do we, friend?
I'm going to put it in the chat room right now.
Huh?
I'll put it in the
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not online.
Yeah, I'm on my phone also.
Okay.
What's your name on Facebook, basically it?
Oh, my name is Betsy Lister. But I do... L-I-S-T-E-R. And then the e-zine is called Biker Bits. And all you have to do is just send me an email and I'll get you hooked up. But,
okay.
And there's events, there's legislative stuff from all over. But it's just, I'm so passionate about it. Who else would get up at that hour of the morning and do 4 to 5 hours worth of work before they even go and start their day at work? Only a person who's totally out of their mind and passionate about these bikers' rights would do something like this. And this is a tool that's out there, and I hope people, you know, will avail themselves of it and send information and get it out there and jump on board with, you know, if not my news service, Phil's, anybody's, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And let's all get unified so that we can stand up and fight, and, you know, our numbers are strong.
Yeah. Yeah, especially if we stand united.
Exactly, and that's what we need to do.
Yeah,
so
but information
the
is the key.
Yep.
Hey, right now I got blue screen. I don't know what happened, but I got a blue screen, so I can't put it up in the chat, but I'll send it to your Art, and I'll send it
to
you.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, that's, and I'd like to contact you on a little project I'm working on that's, I got some, I got my own known associates down here in New Jersey that were, kind of brainstorming an idea or two, and you know, just how to get. We've got to get ourselves into the mix. We're not in the mix yet. We're still pretty much on the outside pissing in the tent, and that's what we're doing.
That's not good.
No, that's.
Oh, you're getting wet, huh?
How many people are like-minded, shall I ask?
Well, there's the people, we're like-minded. Otherwise, we wouldn't be doing this. You know,
right.
There's just a handful.
Okay. But you know what? if you get a handful of committed people,
yeah,
you'd be surprised what you can do.
Yeah. You know, and Phil, yeah, like we said, like, what, last week he had 6,000 people?
Yeah.
That's a lot of people listening.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we went over 13.
Wow.
Today, it's
information like this, getting out there, people hearing about it, and finding out how they can get involved, and finding out how they can stand up for their rights, and finding out what's wrong with the way things are being done. You know, this is huge.
Exactly.
And it goes across the board, too. What's happening to us is happening to everybody on a different level. It's
or at a different time.
Yeah, different. But we're all in the same stew pot.
Exactly.
We're all boiling
very.
We're all
in the same pot.
We're all in that same stew pot. And we're boiling very slowly,
mm-hmm,
and that's why there's no real awareness of, you know. They're turning it up a degree at a time, but they're still turning up the fire, you know. And
we're down to 1 minute, guys. And,
okay.
And what I'd like to do is pick this up next week, right where we left off, and hopefully John will have some information.
Yeah,
about
I should be able to dig up some poop by then. I should have something to spread out on the table there.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to close out with Charlie Baker's Ride. And,
cool.
I thank you guys for tuning in. And Betsy, I'll send you that address you asked me about as soon as I get it.
Okay, and I'm going to sign off because I'm white. And guys,
sure,
it was a pleasure.
Okay, it was nice meeting you folks online here.
Okay, y'all take care.
You
okay, next week, folks. Next week.
Okay, bye-bye.